episode of Theo Nerds, and today we have a very exciting episode because we are talking about a very important topic, and I have with myself today on this episode the infamous Bodybagger. So Bodybagger is the lead tech contributor at TheoNerds.net. TheoNerds.net is a Christian geek and tech news site. We try to cover important topics that nerds and geeks who also love theology and love Jesus Christ will be into. And Bodybagger really heads up the tech side of our articles. He's the greatest contributor when it comes to upcoming technologies and also, you know, running reviews of the latest tech software and hardware that we often cover. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and your expertise in the information technology industry?
Sure, Zom. My background in IT goes back to the days of dial-up modems. It's quite a long time ago. So lots of people are familiar with the noise that's used in memes for when, you know, somebody is knocked out and you hear this very loud chirping noise. And that's the old dial-up noise. So that's back. That's where I come from. And I've worked with technologies on the desktop and on the server and on the infrastructure side that entire time. So I still do that on a day-to-day basis for my role. I'm involved in automating, writing code, assembly, designing systems, and working around all of that. So it's very broad. I work on various different platforms. It's not just Windows. It's also Linux. It's various Unixes. Networking systems, tying all those things together. So on a day-to-day basis, that's what I do, and I've been doing it for, nearly 30 years now, I think, professionally. Going back to the days of dial-up, I would have had a home network with multiple machines. So even from that time, protecting yourself was something that most people didn't really know about. They didn't know about the internet, they didn't know they had to protect themselves on the internet, and now the internet is ubiquitous. People have cell phones that have access to the internet, they have computers and tablets that have access to the internet, and there's really no thought given by the majority of people as to how vulnerable they can be, how much their information can be taken and used against them. So the fastest growing area of crime in the world is where it involves impersonating people, so stealing their data and impersonating them in order to get loans or to get access to state based resources that person would normally be entitled to. And so there have been many cases of people finding out that they've lost their job, they go to get some kind of state support, and they find that it's not available because somebody else has already claimed it in their name, and so they no longer have those supports available. Very similar things where people have been using the theft of someone's identity to transfer ownership of properties. So an older person who has a dies, and after they die, their children or their relatives go to take possession of their properties as they're being passed on the will, and then someone pops up from somewhere and says, no, this property doesn't belong to the person who's deceased. It has been, they sold it, you know, and they have the document trail with the person themselves who is dead and can't object and say, I never sold this. And there's multiple cases of that going across all over the world. Obviously, primarily in parts of the world where people have money, but even people who aren't wealthy can be quite a big target. If someone can successfully steal your identity and convince a bank that they are you, or a lender that they are you, even if you have no money, they can successfully run approximately $1,500 of debt in your name. And it's assigned to you. So if you do at a later stage, then go, I want to get a loan, and then you find you have a bad credit record, and you find out why, because someone else took out a loan in your name, and that's all recorded against you, was defaulted on. So there's a huge problem with the amount of information that's been gathered from devices, and we really need to be aware of it and put steps in place to stop that from happening, to protect our machines, protect our families, and protect our own livelihoods.
Yes, that's one of the reasons why we anonymize ourselves on TheoNerds. We don't feel there's a need to publicize, you know, certain details about ourselves. I mean, really what we're trying to do on TheoNerds is point people towards Christ, towards Jesus, and not to ourselves. So really comes down to the same philosophy that John the Baptist employed. He said, I must decrease so that God can increase. And we want to do that as well. We want to anonymize ourselves and really let the message be the focus. And, you know, also we don't go around in our daily lives, you know, publicizing all our personal most intimate details. You know, we don't go to a supermarket wearing a t-shirt that has our home address on it and our contact numbers and passwords or something. You know, there's certain information that we hide and we conceal just by default in the real world. You know, the internet is sort of like an online shop or an online street. So many people are walking down the street wearing t-shirts with their home address printed on it, and they don't even realize, which is the scary thing, to bad actors who can leverage this information against them.
Yeah, and of course, the other thing is, while that information might even be passed in good faith to someone who is let's call them a good actor, there's no guarantee that that data is going to remain in the hands of that individual or that organization. That data could be stolen from them, as we've seen in recent data breaches. One of the most common tangents now for ransomware is, not only do they encrypt your data and then hold it to ransom, they quite often take a copy of your data, and so they then threaten to publish it online. There's a recent attack where there was data on psychiatric patients which was encrypted. The organization that had the data was contacted by the hackers, who we call them the ransomware hackers, who then told them they demanded a ransom to allow them to decrypt those records so they could use them back in the hospital. And they also contacted the patients who had been in the hospital and demanded a ransom from them, or they would publish their psychiatric records online. So it's quite serious that even though you might have a good actor, you're then relying on them having good security and good practices to keep your data safe.
Or they might just intentionally sell it for profit, like Google and Facebook has proven to do in the past.
Absolutely. So that's the second option, is that they may sell it because there's money to be made out of your data. It's very valuable. And then the third thing is that even if it's not necessarily someone who's buying or selling your data, but is a state that is collecting this data, or as they call metadata, information on what you're doing. And even if you're not doing anything that's currently illegal, we've seen in the past where there has been major changes in states where practices that were once legal then became a practice that immediately classified you as an enemy of the state, and then they would backdate those practices. And that's really, you see, where Christianity comes under fire. So there are nations that have been taken over by a godless philosophy. And in those nations, Christianity becomes criminalized, has become criminalized over history. It's happened multiple times. And if there's data, and there's obviously within your own individual life, there's opportunities to witness for Christ. You're going to have to expose your Christianity if you're going to be a Christian, because Jesus said to bear witness. So there's an aspect of that where it's inevitable that people will know you're a Christian.
And which would be the light of the world, right? Not to put our light under a basket, but to let it shine before men to see how good works, glorify God in heaven.
Let it shine before men. Absolutely. So we still need to do that and understand that that will be criminalized and there's a risk. But why preempt it by putting that data in an environment that makes it possible for the state to come and take sanctions against you before you even have an opportunity maybe to do one-on-one evangelism or speaking with others about Christ? So it also affects your ability to work. It can affect your ability to access various different sources. The internet has become a tool that has empowered individuals with knowledge, so we can network across the world and realize that we're not our own. And there are great resources out there for Christians. There are great resources that can teach you, that can empower you, and a computer is a powerful tool. And obviously, while that was part of the vision of those who started a lot of the back end of the internet, ultimately, that's also, because it's powerful, it's also powerful to be able to be manipulated and to manipulate people, or to stop people from getting access to information that makes them free in the world sense, in the worldly sense. The gospel is spreading to other parts of the world. It is spreading over the internet, spreading to media. It's also spreading one-to-one. So there are parts of the world where people can't go and preach the gospel without, you know, really seriously risking their lives. But there are sermons being beamed across the border or beamed across the internet, and people are being reached in countries where it's closed through the technology that's been used. And so there's obviously a very keen interest among powers that want to maintain their position of power to shut those things down. So from the spiritual aspect, we understand the spiritual side. We know who's behind it all. There's a spiritual aspect that there is a power on this earth that hates Christ, that hates man, hates the gospel, wants to shut that down. And then there's also worldly things where people themselves want totalitarian control because they want power. They're hungry for it.
So you've spoken a bit about the benefits of the internet, the ability for the gospel to reach nations in which Christianity is criminalized, the flow of information for people to really get engaged with the gospel. But there's also a seedy and dark and negative side to the internet. And we've covered a little bit about this with trackers and data breaches. But there is an elephant in the room that we really want to cover, and the Bible has a great deal to say, and that is internet pornography. Now, this really came into the eye of the mainstream because of a New York Times journalist called Nicholas Kirstoff, who wrote an article which states, "Why does Canada allow this company to profit off videos of exploitation and assault?" And he's referring to the pornographic website Pornhub, which is one of the most popular sites of this category. And he really exposed the evil and the vile content that is on this platform, which is being monetized. I don't want to go into too much detail because I want to be simple concerning evil, but there are videos of people being sexually assaulted, children being abused, that is being monetized. We want to set safeguards so that this can't be accessed. We don't believe that you should have access to this. Like, we shouldn't be able to go on the internet
for sure
and watch videos of people being murdered, right?
Sure.
So we want to do what we can so that this cannot be accessed to any degree. So I want to share with you just a little bit of statistics to the problem of pornography. This is a huge problem. There is a massive demand for these websites. So for example, in 2019, Pornhub received 80,000 visits every minute. That's just one of these websites.
That's a lot of technology required to support that.
Yes. So there's a lot of servers that are...
There's a lot of money involved.
So there are porn websites that are more popular than WhatsApp, Zoom, and Amazon. So put that in perspective. Those are all pretty mainstream. Everybody knows of those things. Well, there's actually pornographic websites which are more popular than those services. There's websites being visited and frequented more than Zoom and Amazon and WhatsApp. It is quite outstanding.
The whole thing with the internet is the internet essentially is happening to most people. It's in darkness. Yes, there are those who are capable of shining a light and seeing exactly what you're doing on the internet, and that goes into your permanent record, but ultimately it's happening in darkness. And so the reality is someone can be sitting in their living room or wherever they like and have a level of privacy that enables them to essentially act as if they're in darkness. Because they can access, as you said, the darker, seedier side of what's on the internet. And so there's a huge capacity for that there. So while it's a very powerful and useful tool, it also, powerful and useful tools can be powerful for evil as well as for good. It's an apparent privacy which makes people feel safe doing things that are evil, that they wouldn't necessarily do if there was another person in the room, or if there was, you know, if it was known, if their next door neighbor, you know, on the wall outside their house was a list of what they're looking at on the website, and unless they're all their neighbors could see it, they wouldn't be doing it. It gives them that cover of darkness without actually having to be dark.
Which, you know, so Jesus said everything done in darkness will be brought to light. So all of these things will be exposed the great day of judgment.
Exactly.
What do you think is the most searched term on Pornhub?
Oh gosh, I wouldn't even want to think about it.
When I was doing some SEO research for TheoNerds, I was just curious because I have these different tools I can use. So I put it into this, you know, the system, and it pulls up different results. And gay porn is actually the most searched term on Pornhub. This is when I did it a couple of months back, which I thought was really interesting because it really harkens back to Romans chapter 1, right? That people burn with lust for one for another, and God hands them over to these debased passions and these evil desires. So it just kind of made, when I saw that, it's, oh, that makes sense. This is really confirming what the Bible says, is that, of course, that would be the most frequented type of those things.
Yeah, well, it's no surprise. Like, the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So really, it's natural that people should choose to seek out things that are evil. That's natural. It doesn't mean it's right, but it is natural. We're in our fallen state, and it is natural to do that. So it's not a surprise. What's more concerning is that there are governments who are openly, who know about the depths of the depravity and are openly embracing it and allowing it to happen.
And profiting from it, because they're taxing at the end of the day, Pornhub pays taxes to the Canadian government, so they're compliant. Yeah. You know, Google allows those websites to be indexed, so they're compliant. And if there's any websites they should be blacklisting, it should be pornographic ones. So basically, Google and any of these big, you know, big tech search engines are supporting the exploitation of women and children by indexing these abominable sites. There are 6 billion searches for pornography on Google every year. 6 billion. That's one search per person on Earth. It's phenomenal. There is a problem. And this is where we really want to provide a service using the expertise of the team at Theonerds to do something about this. So we plan on releasing a service where we can configure your router to block all pornographic websites on all devices that connect to your Wi-Fi. We also intend to optimize your internet settings to make sure that your internet is running as efficiently as possible. Maybe there's a setting here or there that needs to be adjusted so that your internet is, you know, you're getting the most out of your internet. And then finally, we want to encrypt your internet. We want to basically do what we can to hide your online identity by encrypting your internet, because if your internet isn't encrypted, it's public. Another thing we want to do is we want to block all ads and trackers. Ads and trackers that follow you across the internet, which store your metadata, which can and will be used against you. So we have coined the term block all, because we're basically trying to block all of the harmful and negative things on the internet. Bodybag, I don't know if you want to dive into that a little bit in a bit more detail, and maybe explain some of the specifics of the service that we hope to offer people.
Yeah, for sure. So if someone is in your house and they have their own device that has access to the internet through their own data connection, there's nothing you can do to control that. And that's whatever they do is their choice.
So this would be, for example, someone on their phone having a 3G connection or a 4G connection, which is independent of your internet service provider, which is dependent on, you know, your mobile phone provider.
Exactly. But anything that they do on that internet connection, that connection to the internet, is tracked back to them. And it's not necessarily tracked back to you. But if they connect to your home Wi-Fi and then they're accessing any resources on the internet, that is then tracked back to your home Wi-Fi and associated with you. And there have been cases of people who've come into pretty serious trouble with the law because their neighbor connected to their Wi-Fi hotspot and accessed resources that were illegal and deeply immoral. And it ended up that there was police calling to the door of these people's houses. They were arrested, they were taken away, they were questioned. And really it was because the investigating officer was a person of integrity and was willing to listen to their side of the story. They really had no clue about any of it, and he believed them. And he actually commissioned an investigation a little bit further. And after this, they realized it was the next door neighbor who had connected to their Wi-Fi and had access to these resources, and because they sent a technician to monitor their network, and they could see this guy on their network accessing the internet. So ultimately, what we're trying to do is to protect it against that. So if you are providing that service of allowing someone to connect to your internet in your house, then you are ultimately going to be responsible for. In that case, yes, you should take control of it. You should try and block access to the things you can block access to.
Well, you might also be a parent and you want to remove the ability for your children to access pornography. Or you might be someone who struggles with these things and you want to remove temptation. So that's another key factor. Another thing we actually hope on implementing is the installation of accountability software. So that means that even if someone is able to access these through some type of backdoor internet connection, if you've set up their mobile phone in such a way to monitor everything that can be done on it, you can at least know what they're searching and what they're viewing. So we also plan on installing that.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, because then gives you an opportunity to have a conversation about the right way to use these things, to really show that there is no transparency. Just because the immediate person whose network you're using doesn't know what you're doing on it doesn't mean that somebody doesn't know, because somewhere along the backbone of that infrastructure, there's somebody who's tracking that information. So ultimately it is known. And obviously we know, as you said earlier, that every deed of darkness will be brought to the light. So the Lord knows everything we're doing, everything everyone's doing. So it's kind of just bringing home that accountability to bring it home to the individual, because it's easy to forget it. It's easy to be distracted in our modern world. But ultimately, the Lord knows. And this is what we're talking about, is to take ownership of that, to control it as much as you can, and to nip it in the bud, really. And also, as you said, if there's a personal struggle, to try and mitigate that. And that, those are all good things. If there's risks involved, you put a mitigation in place.
Ultimately, no filter is going to change the human heart. Jesus said from the heart comes adultery and fornication and lust. So if there's a will, there's a way. But what you're trying to do is, in the moment of weakness, put roadblocks so that you can't easily access these things. As Jesus said, you hear what he said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you than for one of your members to perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. So that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about the plucking out of your eye. And he goes on to talk about the cutting off of your hand, which is really a direct call towards masturbation, right? That's what he's talking about there. To cut off your hand, pluck out your eye, do what you can, do become extreme about it, to do all that you can to remove the access to these things if they are easily accessed in your life. So
yeah,
that's
we're suggesting a technological solution that doesn't involve self-mutilation, though.
Sure. Yeah. because it's clear, if you actually follow the logic, if that wasn't a heart issue, if cutting off your hand and plucking off your eye actually stopped lust and, you know, stopped that sin, then it would make sense to do those things if it meant that you would not go to hell. But clearly, clearly it's a heart issue, but we still should do all that we can to remove the temptations that can so easily ensnare us.
For sure. It's an illustration designed to shock quite clearly and show the severity of what it is we're dealing with.
A lot of the things that we're going to implement, filtering your internet, installing accountability software, encrypting internet connection, these are things that you could do yourself. And we've written many articles on Theonodes on how to do that. But for many people, they don't have the time to research that, and they don't have the expertise to troubleshoot if something goes wrong. So we want to make this as easy as possible for you. So what we plan to do is to jump on a call with you and to talk you through the process of doing all of those things, or to remotely control your computer using some type of remote access software to configure these things on your behalf. Now, we have to do some tests and we have to troubleshoot this. We're planning on releasing the service soon. But if you want updates on this, and if you're interested in this, then check out the show notes in the description. You can sign up to our email list and we'll be sending updates, and we'll probably be opening up a beta soon where people can join and we can, you know, do these things, and you know, we can sort of refine our processes. So if you're interested in that, then make sure to join the email list in the description.
Yeah, so the complexity comes in that not everybody has the same device to control their internet access. We're talking about configuring something that really sets up this condition for your entire network, not just one machine on it, not just one phone, not just one PC or one Xbox. It's that every device connected to it is being protected, is what we're talking about. And so the complexity comes in because there are many different devices. So we need to really get through, build a script, if you like, of how to do that with those different devices to keep it as consistent as possible for everybody. And so there's going to be some of those jobs are going to be a bit more difficult, some of them are going to be a little more easy. And as you said, a person who is willing could do this themselves. If they're willing to put the time in, they're willing to research the data there. There's, as you said, there's articles there that can help, and we've written a few of those, but not everybody has the time and not everybody has the confidence to give it a go.
And often when it comes to IT, you can botch something up and then you're stuck. You don't know how to fix it. And it's great to have someone that you can consult and ask a question. So we want to provide some support there as well. And what you'll also find is that when we configure your home internet, your Wi-Fi with these services, you should see an increase in speed, because one thing we're going to be doing is we're going to be blocking display advertisements. So when you go to a website, what usually happens is that there's a little section which links to an advertisement server and it pulls an ad from that server and displays it to you. But that takes a little bit of extra time to do that. We're going to be setting your internet up so that when that request to that ad server will be basically completely blocked. So this actually, it doesn't block it in the sense like an ad blocker blocks it. It reroutes it and puts it into basically an endless loop. And it speeds up your internet connection, but it also circumnavigates those, you know, ad blockers and those, please disable ad blocker to continue on the site, those types of things. And it does the same for trackers.
Yeah, it's called a black hole route. So essentially it's got this gravitational pull that when you send out the request to, when the website sends out the request to load the advertisement, it just never ever leaves your network. It goes into a black hole and disappears. And so it's not even detectable. Many websites that could say, they'll limit your access because, they can detect you have an ad blocker running in your browser. Well, this is not a browser-based ad block technology, and it can't be detected by these websites. So you can still access the resources you want to see without seeing the ads being forced at you.
And the accountability software we're using is accountable to you. It's an extremely lightweight accountability software, which can send text notifications for certain searches. It can also track the location of your devices and how much time is being used on a device. And this is very important because I've used other accountability softwares and services such as Covenant Eyes, and I found that it just crushed my internet speeds, which is very disparaging when you're paying a lot for internet and you basically want that software to be in the background. You don't even want to think about it. You basically just want it to be there to, safeguard you when you're being tempted or you're struggling with something. And it's very annoying when it's very noticeable that it's there. Whilst with accountable to you, I often forget that it's there because it's so lightweight, it doesn't impact my internet speeds at all. So we highly recommend it, and that's the software that we're going to be implementing. Finally, we're going to be encrypting your internet connection. Do you want to talk a little bit about VPNs and, especially VPNs going through the router? Many people might be familiar with a VPN on their phone or VPNs in general, but do you want to talk a little bit about what exactly is a VPN and how we're going to configure the router or the router to use a virtual private network?
Sure. VPN is a technology that goes back actually to the 90s when the first implementations were done. It was to using the public internet to send private traffic in a way that it couldn't be eavesdropped. And it was controlled by having software running at two ends of what's called a tunnel. So you had one firewall, one piece of hardware sitting on one site and another on another site. And they established a communication between them that then became encrypted. And so you could access data on that site without anyone else in the world being able to eavesdrop on that because it was in this encrypted tunnel. So the VPN technology we're talking about is doing exactly that, where it's configured on your router. Your router then establishes a connection to a secure server in another location. You can choose whichever you like. It's going to depend on your speed. It's going to depend on how much privacy you want. You can route it to Iceland or to Switzerland, where they have very strict privacy laws. So those providers can't give the information out of what your traveling data is, what your internet data is. Every click of your mouse on a website or every thing you type, every email you send is then encrypted to the point where it gets out of the VPN. Be it in Iceland or Switzerland or wherever you VPN to. So it just means nobody on your local internet can eavesdrop what you're doing on that.
And because this encryption is being done on your router, it's not dependent on a device or software. So you might find many VPNs, they encrypt your browser traffic. They don't encrypt all of your traffic. So for instance, you might have a VPN running on your desktop computer, but it's only really encrypting your browser traffic. It's not actually encrypting all the other communications that are being sent out to Microsoft. For example, if you're using a Windows machine, a lot of your personal information and data is being sent to Microsoft. So it's a way to encrypt that information. And we're also going to be blocking what's known as telemetry. So you want to talk a little bit more about that and how we're gonna be configuring the router to basically stop big tech from harvesting your information, even when you're just using Windows.
Sure. So telemetry is a nice sounding word to describe corporate spying.
It sounds like a superpower. I have telemetry.
I suppose you could think of like telepathy, but they know what you're doing because they're watching, not because they can't see you, because they can't see you. So it's in all of the major operating systems have it. So you've got it on your Apple Macs have it, your Microsoft Windows based machines have it, your Chromebooks have it. So pretty much every of the major corporate operating systems have it on there. You can avoid it if you use a Linux distribution. The same again, lots of people don't want to do it though because they have to relearn an interface and sometimes it can be a bit difficult to get stuff done. So what you can do instead of that is you can block it. And if you block it at the router, then same again, we use the same technique we have for blocking advertisements to block telemetry. You send that telemetry into a black hole. So when your computer is trying to report back to Microsoft how many times you launched an app today, what app it was, what websites you went to, how long your mouse hovered over which part of the screen, all that information is then just kind of goes into a black hole. So, and what you're doing is you're taking that resource, which is yours, and it's been taken without your permission, really. So you're taking that resource back into your control. By doing this on your router, it means that any device that's on your network gets this service.
Yeah, don't be deceived by the latest Apple iOS 14 update. You might think that, oh, Apple really cares about my privacy and they're allowing me to have the option to block trackers. No, they're not. What they're basically doing is that they're forcing big tech companies to now pay them for that data, which they used to get for free. That's what they're doing. This is a business move. It has nothing to do about your privacy. These big tech companies do not care about your privacy. They're selling your data for profit. All this does is that it gives Apple leverage against Facebook and Google, who want this data. They can now charge a higher price for it. So that's what that is about. It has nothing to do with your privacy rights. And Apple isn't this company that actually cares about you.
Yeah, it's quite funny how someone can actually in avarice and then represent it as being a virtue.
Yeah. And another thing you see, Facebook is like, this is going to negatively affect businesses and we're not going to be able to send advertisements to people. That's nonsense. No, what they would be able to do is they would be able to sell the data that they receive from Apple to other people. That's what that really means. Or give it to government agencies as easily. So, because Facebook has enough data points on their platform as it is, they don't need to get more data points from your phone, for example. I'm sure that helps, but they already have so much data on you just by how you use Facebook and the posts you interact with and the people you're connected to, that they have enough data points to advertise.
Even if you don't have an account. If you never had a Facebook account, there are apps that you install on your phone that report your data back to Facebook. Anyway, so.
Yes, and even if you're browsing websites, so many times you would be like reading a news article and there'll be those little buttons that says, like on Facebook. Those buttons track you. So even if you're on a page and you're viewing it, Facebook knows you went to that page. So that's why in Theonerds, we have no trackers. We don't use any Facebook pixels. We don't use Google Analytics. We don't have any of those, silly social media icons, things that you can tap and click. The only one we have is one for Gab, if you're on Gab and you want to share that. And Gab does not use your personal data to advertise to you. So they have a different business model when it comes to social media. We care about your privacy. And it really affects our ability to, promote Theonerds, to be honest. It does make things a little bit harder for us because it limits the things we can do. But we care about your privacy. We don't like to be tracked. So we're not going to track people on our website. So if you have any questions whatsoever, make sure to let us know in the comments below. Check out the show notes for the resources that we've spoken about. And again, if you would like to optimize your router to block ads, to block tracking, to block pornography, to install accountability software, and to encrypt your network, then make sure to sign up to the mailing list so that we can give you updates and keep you informed of the developments that we hope to release this service to you in the future. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.